Thank you, Jesus, for a God that is always on time. Amen.
Hallelujah.
For offering, I'm going to be going to Genesis chapter 28. And it says, this is after Jacob. This is Jacob speaking. And he says, "And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee." Amen. Jacob wanted to remember God. Amen? Yes. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to give tonight. Thank you, O Lord Jesus, for bringing to our remembrance how great you are, God, and how giving is important, God. Asking you to bless this gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Come and give an offering unto the Lord.
Oh, and said, "I want to go and that with bleeding heart."
For the blood. Amen. Something always that we should remember. Amen. I thank the Lord that we can remember what the great sacrifice he has made for us, what he's done, how he has continued to teach us and lead us and guide us every day. And just being that friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to give a Bible study on to give you some more insight as to who Jesus is so that you may walk closer with him and trust him. It's kind of a message or a Bible study after the fact. We just came off a wonderful Memorial Day, remembering the goodness of God, the different things that shaped our country. I wanted to give this message before Memorial Day, but we have Bishop Fred Dibble here reminding us that there's no victory at discount prices. That was very important. In turning your Bibles, I want to read a short verse in Genesis chapter 28. Verses 18 to 22. And it says, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee.'" My topic for tonight is God's memorials, landmarks, and standards. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for an opportunity to study your word, to hear from you, and to speak your word, God. Lord, speak through me tonight. Anoint my words. Open our understanding, oh Lord, that someone may hear and be convicted, that someone may hear and turn back to you, that someone may hear and be encouraged. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God is into memorials. He wants us to remember him, to remember his word, to remember his faithfulness and his promises. The word memorial, believe it or not, is in the Bible 54 times. That's when God repeats himself, it's very important. It means something to him. The definition of memorial is anything intended to preserve the memory of a person or event. Something which serves to keep something else in remembrance or a monument. We have various monuments in the United States. One of the more famous ones is the Washington Monument, the big obelisk in Washington, D.C., the Lincoln Memorial. One of my favorites is the Martin Luther King statue in Washington. Martin Luther King is coming out of a stone. It's a beautiful monument. When I looked that up, the Martin Luther King statue, many countries have one. Many countries, they want to keep in remembrance what he stood for. That we have here in Connecticut, we have the Veterans Memorial Bridge or Veterans Memorial Highway because of the many veterans in honor of them to keep in remembrance what they had done. Amen? In a biblical context, memorial serves as a tangible reminder of significant events, divine acts, or covenant promises. Memorials are established to ensure that the memory of God's deeds, instructions, are remembered or observed from generation to generation. They often take the form of physical objects, rituals, and specific days that are set aside for remembering. In the Old Testament, as I just read about Jacob having that stone that he set for a pillar, that was a memorial. Another one in the Old Testament was when Joshua led the people into the Promised Land. They crossed the River Jordan as on dry ground. A lot of people don't remember that in the Bible where, yes, they went through the Red Sea as on dry ground, but they also crossed the River Jordan as on dry ground. And that was an amazing thing. That was an amazing thing that God did for them. And you, when you hear about it in the future or after it happened, you might want to say, yeah, that happened. But God instructed Joshua to make a memorial of it. Here in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, it says, And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the midst of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, and every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this might be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, When it passed over Jordan, the rivers of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, and as the Lord had spake unto Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, and called the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. That's another significant fact in Scripture when it said, use that phrase, there unto this day. That's in the Bible 89 times. 89 times you will find that phrase, unto this day. Now, actually it means unto the time of the writing of this particular place in Scripture. But it's still a long time. They wanted that memorial to be there so that they can remember from generation to generation. Another Old Testament memorial was the Passover. The Passover was instituted as a memorial feast. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, it says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. The Israelites are commanded to observe it annually to remember their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. This day is to be a memorial for you, and you are to celebrate it as a feast of the Lord. I believe they still celebrate the Passover to this day. Samuel. In the book of Samuel, there was also a memorial. During the time of Judges, when they went into the Promised Land, they were often at war with other nations, and God fought for them. They were often outnumbered every time, but God gave them the victory. Amen? And here's one such account. And the children of Israel, this is in Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 12, and it says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord and to the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. That sound familiar? I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I trust him too, Sister Jerry. That's why I trust him too. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethiar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto the Lord helped us. I remember the first time I saw that word, Ebenezer. I said, wow, that's where that man in that Christmas story, that's where his name comes from. He was Ebenezer Scrooge, and that's the only place I had heard it. Now, when I think of Ebenezer, I think that God helps, because that's what it means in Hebrew, stone of help. Amen? God provide a stone of help. Amen? He is great. So the next time you hear the word Ebenezer, please don't think of the stingy old man, but remember God. He put that stone there as a memorial unto him. Amen. New Testament memorials. One of the ones that we all observe is the Lord's Supper, also known as communion. In the New Testament, Jesus establishes the Lord's Supper as a memorial of his sacrificial death. During the supper, he instructs his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Luke 22:19. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this. This do in remembrance of me. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, he says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We are constant when that's why we take communion and do foot washing. It is in remembrance of what he did for us, what he did for his disciples. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. It is a New Testament memorial. Another one was the anointing at Bethany. When the lady anointed Jesus' head with the oil, and the disciples were upset with him. Hey, why wasn't this oil used to sell and give the money to the poor? And Jesus told them, for in Matthew 26:13, he says, for in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verse 13 says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for her a memorial, be told for a memorial of her. The same is true in Mark chapter 14, 6 through 9, in memorial of her. Wherever this gospel is preached, even to this day, that happened so long ago, but she honored Jesus' death, which would prove to be something very important for us. Memorials in the Bible serve several purposes. They act as reminders of God's faithfulness, power, and promises. They also function as teaching tools for generations, ensuring that the knowledge of God's work and commands are passed down. Memorials encourage worship, reflection, and obedience. An example in the New Testament as to what that looks like is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Where Paul is explaining to the Corinthians about the children of Israel. Well, Paul is actually teaching here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, and it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, meaning the Red Sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now these things are our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Those different things that happened in the Old Testament serve as a warning, an instruction, as Paul stated here, an admonition or correction to us. Amen. Memorials serve as a call to action, as they remind the believers of our identity, our purpose, and God's plan of redemption. One of the biggest memorial in the New Testament is the Holy Ghost. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Bring into remembrance. That's what a memorial does. And David in the Old Testament, he also had many remembrances. Now, I have a couple of scriptures here, but I just want to give you a little bit of context. Many of you read the Psalms, and in the beginning of the Psalm, you'll see something that says, to the choir master. Do any of you remember that? Well, when I went to put the scripture up there, it didn't say that. But the scripture, I know it didn't say that in where I got it from. But it does say it in your word, in your Bibles. In Psalm 38, it says, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Psalm 38:1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, nor chasten me in thy hot displeasure. David remembered that the wages of sin is death. David also wanted to remember that God is merciful. Psalm 70, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Once again, where David says, make haste, O Lord, and deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. David knew about that stone of help. Amen. Landmarks. Remember, the title was God's Memorials, Landmarks, and Standards. Landmarks is mentioned 5 times in Scripture, but the weight that God puts on landmarks is very important. Remember, he led them into the promised land, and they gave them their inheritance of the land that they would have. And the land were divided up in various parcels and sectioned off. So therefore, they had to have landmarks between the various tribes and peoples. The landmarks was very important. This is why God had it divided among them. In biblical times, landmarks were physical markers used to delineate property boundaries. These markers were often stones or some durable objects placed in the corners or the edges of the property. The concept of landmarks is in Scripture very much as an understanding of justice, property rights, and maintaining godly lifestyle. The Bible explicitly expresses the importance for respecting landmarks in several passages, emphasizing the moral and legal implications of moving landmarks. Do not remove the landmarks. For example, in Deuteronomy 19:14, it says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God given to thee to possess it. This command underscores the sanctity of property boundaries as established by previous generation and recognized by God. Similarly, in Deuteronomy 27:17, it says, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen. This curse is part of a series of pronouncements made on Mount Ebal, highlights the seriousness that which the act that which an act was regarded by the children of Israel. In Proverbs 22:28, in the book of Wisdom, the wisest man in the world said, "Remove not the ancient lead mark which thy fathers have set." The wisdom reinforces the idea that tampering with landmark is not only a legal violation, but also a breach of ethical conduct. In ancient Israel, landmarks were more than property markers. They were symbols of divine justice. The land was considered a gift from God, and distribution among the tribes and families of Israel was seen as divinely ordained. Therefore, altering a landmark was just as bad as challenging God's provision and justice. Do not remove the landmarks. They are there for a reason. Just as physical landmarks should not be moved, spiritual, moral boundaries set by God's law ought to be respected and upheld. The prophet often used the images of moving landmarks to describe moral decay of Israel. For instance, in Hosea 5:10, it says, "The princes of Judah were like men that removed the bound or boundaries. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water." Do not remove the boundary. Here, the fact of moving the landmark symbolizes leaders' corruption, resulting in divine judgment. This points to another reason in our day why we need to vote. We live in a fallen world. Our government may want to move something that we hold dear as a precious belief or conviction. During the pandemic, they threaten to close churches. Do not remove the landmark. Who knows who may be in office, and they'll state their agenda. We have to vote. That's vote and prayer. But we want to preserve the landmarks that God has established for us in this country. Amen? Landmarks in the Bible are significant, both physical markers of property and as symbols of justice, integrity, and divine order. Some scriptures that describe that are Leviticus 10:10, which says that ye may put a difference between the holy and unholy, between the unclean and the clean. That's what a landmark does. Our belief, our convictions make a separation. Ezekiel 44:23, it says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put the bitter for sweet and the sweet for bitter." Woe to them that do that. Woe to them that remove the landmark. Biblical injunctions against moving landmarks reflect a broader commitment to upholding God's law or his word and maintaining the social and moral fabric in our communities. Malachi 3:16-18 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, And they that thought upon his name." Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. It's very important that we make a distinction, that we keep those landmarks in place that make a distinction between good and evil, between the clean and the unclean. It is a choice that we have. As believers, we must discern and uphold what is good according to God's standards. Recognizing areas where we love evil and hate good, we must repent and seek God's forgiveness, allowing Him to transform our hearts and our actions. Amen. We're constantly looking into the mirror of the Word, looking at that landmark that God has placed in our lives, that we may repent and recognize those areas where we set light for darkness, we set darkness for light, or bitter for sweet, and repent. It is a part of our daily walk with God that we do self-examination. Looking at the Word of God, being convicted by the Spirit of God. Amen. Repent and stay on the right side of the landmark. Malachi 3:18 says, "Then shall ye return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Do not remove the landmark. Regular self-examination and repentance are necessary to avoid falling into the trap of backsliding. When we stop looking into the mirror at ourselves, when we stop observing the memorials and landmarks, we could fall into the trap of backsliding, thinking it's the same. The waters are muddy and it's okay. We no longer discern between what is right, what is wrong, what is evil, and what is holy. Please observe the landmarks and don't let anyone move them. Christians are called to discern between good and evil, using Scripture as the ultimate landmark. Do not add or take away from the Word. The Word of God is an ancient landmark, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And God warns about this three times in Scripture that I know of. One is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it," or take away from it, "that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Deuteronomy 12:32. "What things soever I command you, observe and do it, that thou shalt not add thereunto, nor diminish from it." Do not add or remove from it. That's the same as removing a landmark. And the last one is Revelation 22, verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." That is serious. Protecting our hearts and minds through prayer and Scripture help us maintain a clear understanding of the truth. Another thing about landmarks in our day are something called landmark cases. One of the most important things to study in history are landmark cases. Has anyone ever been a part of a landmark case? Many of us are here because of a landmark case, believe it or not. A case that took place in history, maybe in the Supreme Court or some court, that was so significant that it was a landmark that marked future cases. The definition of a landmark case is a legal decision that significantly impacts changes the interpretation of the law and sets a precedent for future cases. These cases often involve controversial issues or address societal changes and their outcome have a lasting effect on the legal system, individuals' rights, and society as a whole. The most important part of studying history is to study the landmark cases in history. Winston Churchill, well, he has a lot of quotes. One of his famous quotes is that those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Has anybody ever heard that one before? One of the reasons we study history so that we don't make the same mistakes that they did in history. Landmark cases helps us to do that. In the Bible, there were some landmark cases. Every act of God's judgment and or his mercy was landmark. One of the things that upset me, and please pray for me, the Bible illiteracy that so many people have, young people that I meet have. They don't know these landmark cases. And it's upsetting because it's so very important. It's important as Roe versus Wade, the Emancipation Proclamation. Those are very important in our society in America. And if we go to school and learn those, how much more should we know the landmark cases that are in Scripture? Amen? I'll just name a few. Please say amen if you ever heard of it. Amen. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden. God's judgment. The flood and Noah's ark. God's judgment. God's covenant with Abraham. God's law given through Moses, where he said the soul that sins must die in Deuteronomy. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He said life is in the blood, and I've given it as an atonement for your souls. That was as the definition of a landmark case says, that set a legal precedent. The shedding of blood way back then by bulls and goats and lambs set a legal precedent for the Lamb of God to come. Amen. God's judgment after Israel sinned in the wilderness. Amen. God's judgment after Israel sinned in the promised land. God's judgment after Davidson and many other kings. God's mercy and deliverance after Israel's repentance. Jesus paid the penalty for man's sin. Landmark. We all had to appear before the judge, deserving death for the things we did, and Jesus stepped in and paid the penalty for us. Amen? He paid a debt that we could not pay. He paid a price that we could not pay. Amen? Landmark case. Landmark. It's very important, and it just changed the course of our history. It changed who we are. We can't allow the enemy to say that, oh, that wasn't nothing. The fact that you were baptized in Jesus' name. Another thing that Jesus did, being who he is, his birth, death, burial, and resurrection, divided time in two. We have a B.C. and an A.D. We now live in the day of our Lord. Amen? Because of Jesus, because of that landmark, which is him. Every time we write the date, 2025, in the day of our Lord, we are acknowledging him. His life, his death, his burial and resurrection made that possible. Tell that to one of your atheist friends. Observe the landmark. You are living because of a certain landmark, of a very significant landmark. The last one I want to talk about is standards. 42 times in Scripture is standards. And in biblical times, a standard meant like a flag or a banner. All right? They call it Jehovah my banner. Which one is it? Jehovah Nisi. Man, it means you reign in victory. It was a flag. It was, and when they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, all of the tribes of the Israel, they gathered under their standard. And they had a symbol on their standard or their flag, what tribe it was. Obviously, the tribe of Judah had a lion on it. Amen? Each tribe had its own standard, which helped maintain order and structure among the people. Numbers 2:2 says, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Another name for standard or banner is the ensign. Far off above the tabernacle of the congregation they shall pitch. The standards serve not only as practical tools for organization, but also symbols of the tribe's unique identities and their covenant relationship with God. The standards were likely adorned with emblems and symbols that represented each of the tribe's heritage and divine calling. Beyond the practical use of standards, significant symbolic and prophetic meaning in the Bible. Standards carry a significant symbolic and prophetic meaning in the Bible. In Isaiah 11:10, it says, And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it the Gentiles seek. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. In Isaiah 49:22, thus said the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. A standard. The standard or banner symbolizes God's call to the nation and his promise of restoration and salvation to his people. The New Testament does not frequently use the term standards in the same way as the military tribal sense in the Old Testament. The concept of the standard is rallying point of faith remains relevant. Jesus Christ himself is seen as an ultimate standard or banner for believers, drawing people from all nations to the truth of the gospel. In John 12:32, it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Amen? And he was indeed lifted up. And we identified with that death in baptism, his death and burial in baptism. He drew us near to him when he was lifted up. Amen? Another one is, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. The biblical concept of a standard encompasses both practical and profound spiritual dimensions. It serves as a reminder of God's order, identity, and promises to his people, ultimately pointing to the fulfillment of his promises in Jesus Christ. Through the imagery of standards, believers are called to rally around the truth of the gospel and find their identity in Christ. Believers must be vigilant against cultural trends to redefine morality contrary to biblical standards. We can't let our standards be eroded. Standards are very important. The standard is defined as a pattern, the first pattern in manufacturing something, like that mold, a mold that they poured a hot metal into, and that's what makes the part. It is the pattern. It is the die that is cast, and it must match that. There are standards of behavior that we have that we match. Many other people before us who have lived for God and died believing in God, that paved the way, that showed us how to walk this walk. Amen. Another example of the standard or a banner I think of in that old Christian hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Anybody remember it? I think I have it here. I'll just sing a couple of verses. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Jehovah, my banner. Jehovah, my banner. Amen. 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 His landmarks, standards, and memorials are meant to bring us back to him. His landmarks, standards, and memorials are there so that we can make the necessary course correction and return to the past. Those of you that know me know I served in the United States Navy. I served on two ships. And one thing I learned serving on ship, a ship does not just go from point A to point B in a straight line. That does not happen. That is not how it happens on the ocean. Because the earth spins on this axis, the ship or the water currents makes the ship drift off course. We intend to go from here to England across the Atlantic Ocean. A straight line, there's a navigator's track that's plotted out. However, because of the way the earth spins on its axis, we drift off course naturally. We have to navigate. Thank you, Jesus, for the invention of GPS and satellites. That way we know how far off course we are. There's a satellite. We get a remembrance from a satellite or a position fix from a satellite and maybe a radar signal from on land somewhere and our last known position. Just three of them. We get three of them. We get an accurate position and we can make a course change. Someone would tell we make a recommendation to the captain or the officer that the captain has driving his ship. Turn to this in this direction, turn to course 090 so we can get back to the navigator's track, so we can get back on track. Through two or three fixes, we make a course correction to get back on track. God's memorials, God's landmarks, God's standards. Amen? They are there to help us to get back on track. Are you with me on that? He wants us to get back on track. Those are in place. His memorials, landmarks, and standards. The Word of God, the Gospel, His doctrine helps us to realize if we're off track. The Holy Ghost convicts us you are off track. You need to come back. Make the necessary course correction. We will be doing this the rest of our life. It is a natural thing that, just as it is a natural thing, that the earth spins on its axis and causes a ship to go off course. We are going to have troubles in our life. We are going to have troubles in our life, and we may need to make a course correction. Amen? Amen. His landmarks, standards, memorials are to help us to remember the price he paid for our redemption, and we repent. It brings to mind the prodigal son. The prodigal son, I don't know which one he actually remembered. Was it the memorials? Was it the landmarks? Was it the standards? But something made him to come to himself. he remembered something. He said, I am not where I'm supposed to be. Amen. The ultimate memorial is that old rugged cross. The tomb which he lay and the stone which was rolled away. Hallelujah. Do not remove the memorial or remember that memorial. The ultimate landmark case was when Jesus paid the price for our sin. The ultimate standard are his teachings and doctrine. Amen. I'm reminded of a story. Maybe some of you heard it before. A man was traveling in the United States somewhere below the Mason-Dixon line. And he was pulled over by a state trooper. Why are you speeding on my highway? He was asked. Oh, you're going to see the judge now. And hauled him right in. He gets to court. He looks up at the judge and realized that the judge is his father. Judge says, $5,000 for reckless driving and speeding. And the man is like, Dad, you know I don't have $5,000. $5,000, that's judgment. Dad, I do not have $5,000. Judge takes off his robe, puts on his jacket, his nice gray jacket, walks down and gives his son his credit card for $5,000. Walks back, takes off his jacket, puts on his judge's robe again. The debt was paid. Amen. He came himself. He came himself to redeem us from all inequity. He came himself to pay the penalty that we could not pay. He came himself to pay a fine. Amen. To be the substitute for us. Yes, he took off his robe and robed himself in flesh. Amen. And paid the price for his children. Though his son could not pay. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? I thank God that he put things in my life. He put people in my life to help me to stay on the path, to help me to be corrected and make that necessary course change to get back on course. I'm thankful for his word, his spirit that drew me near. That always tells me I'm thankful for a church and a church family. For we are members of one another. And to tell the truth to one another is very important. It's very important. To be led by his spirit is very important. Amen. Always observe those memorials. Remembering God's word. I think I've spoken on that before. We have to remember God's word. We have to continue to study his word to show ourselves approved and observe his standard. Observe constantly and continue to obey. To obey it as we know it. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for taking care of us, God. We thank you for looking out for us, for establishing your memorials, establishing your landmark, establishing, Lord, your standards, for establishing your word, Lord, in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice, for coming into our lives and pulling us out of darkness, God, for opening our eyes that we may see you, Lord, that we may see the way that we are going, for shedding light on the path that we walk, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for convicting us when we go off the path, God. Thank you for allowing us to come back, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done, God. Thank you, Jesus, for paying a debt that we could not pay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Jesus. Lord, help my brothers and sisters to always walk by faith and not by sight, God. Help them to always, oh Lord Jesus, observe the landmarks and the standards that you have put in their lives. Give them a humble heart to listen, God. To listen, oh Lord, when you are correcting them. Give them a humble heart, oh Lord Jesus, to seek when they are off the path, oh God. Give them, oh Lord Jesus, a heart that's willing to serve you, oh Lord, and do whatever it takes to come back to you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.